Let's pray. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for being with us today and tonight. And Lord, we just ask that your presence would be here. And Father, we just glory in all your word. We marvel at the way that you thought things out before the foundation of the world. And now you've actually brought them into manifestation. So Lord, we just commit ourselves to that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm going to turn this a little bit. Okay. All right. So this morning we're looking at number 3. This afternoon is kind of the same. We're looking at the seed word. And from Show Us the Father, Brother Bram said, he said, now, like Jesus said, you take your traditions and make the commandments of God of no effect. Now, it's funny how you can take traditions, or you can even take a false word, and you can just kind of make the word of God of none effect. And that means it just doesn't manifest. Because, let's face it, if you put the right kind of a change in a DNA cell, it just nullifies it. Basically, it doesn't produce anymore. So, when you try to place God, some historical God, or some pre-coming God, in other words, the entire Christian people around the world, they're looking for the second coming, but they don't realize that there's already been an appearing before the coming. So the preparation which was in the appearing is now, and I'm sorry, they think they're preparing by, oh, if I can just pray more, oh, if I can just be a nicer person, oh, if I can just do this. It's nothing about you, it's about what he's already done. And actually, him revealing to you what he's already done. So, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's just as much God now as he ever was. And if you take that attitude, that promise is unto you. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you've said will come to pass. You can have what you said. Now, even like Brother Brown said, you speak that word and believe in your heart, even if it's a pebble moving. The mountain's already starting to move. See, in our 20th century, you got to have a today mentality. It just defeats faith all the time. But if you just can sit back and wait and watch the Word of God, he's doing what he's doing, okay? So don't get ahead of God. I say, when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, it'll be done to you. How much more promise could be made than that? You've got to believe it because it's a seed. Now, if you ask me for an oak tree and I give you an acorn, potentially you have an oak tree. It's seed form. And when you want God in your life, just accept him as your Savior. Potentially, you are a full statured son of God. You grow into the stature of God, just like the acorn does, grows into an oak tree. Now, in other words, it takes a tadpole condition before you have a frog. It takes a caterpillar condition before you have a butterfly. But the wings are already in the caterpillar. I mean, when it's still a caterpillar, the wings are already there. So, you know, your glorified condition is already in you. You see? So, see, he's talking about attributes here. And if you say you got an oak tree, but you say the attributes of a willow tree, describe a willow tree, but you actually say, well, that's an oak tree, but describe it as a willow tree. You've got a willow tree, you don't have an oak tree. You see, the attributes there are a willow tree, not an oak tree. All right? So, you know, people could say they got the message, but they got Pentecost. You understand? Because they've got all the attributes of Pentecost, but they don't. And Brother Rand said this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost. So, all right. So from Show Us the Father, he also said, the word, now Jesus said, is a seed that the sower sowed. And any germ seed in the right kind of soil would produce its kind. And now I realize that this being untaped, these tapes, we have a tape ministry that goes all over the world. And many people take, and just here tonight, we're about 1,000 people are listening before this tape stops. There'll be 10,000 hear it, see, around the world. And I go on record and I say this about the Word of God being a seed. if you can take the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God, He will bring it to pass. If you can get yourself in position to believe that, that promise was to you. But you let some rookie place it off with more education than he knows, you know, gumption enough to know how to control it, can stick it off into some other generation gone by or some other age that has to come, it'll be of none effect to you. So you can be looking for the second coming, but fail to recognize the appearing is already taking place. The Father came to Abraham before the promised Son. That's Bible. Okay, God came to us before He sends the Son. So you see, there's a seed for each season, and you have plant, and you have to plant that seed in its right season, or it won't grow. Plant regular wheat, as I mentioned this morning, in the fall, it won't grow. Plant winter wheat in the fall, it will germinate in the ground under the snow, and in June you'll have your harvest. But plant regular wheat at the same time and it won't grow. Neither if you plant pumpkins in the fall or watermelons in the fall, they have to be planted in the right season. So number one, you've got to know what season you're in, you're living in, which in our season is the end, and we are living in the appearing, okay? Now, from investments, he said, he's real. It's the simplicity of just accepting what he said and seeing it be made ready. The word is a seed. And if that seed puts in the right ground, under the right temperature, it'll grow if it's germinized. And we know this word is germinized because God is in it. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's still God. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. So, you see, when we think of the Word being made flesh and dwelt among us, immediately we think of, okay, well, God birthed Himself, or He made Himself a vessel, and that vessel was God. No, the vessel was not God. The vessel was the vessel of God, and God stepped into the vessel. You see, God changed His mask, okay? Too many people think the Brother Branham preached God was in, you know, God was Christ instead of God was in Christ. You see, there's a big difference between God was in Christ and God was Christ. You just have to get all your facts lined up with the scriptures. And people don't study the word today. They should. Because listen, how many of you went through school and you had exams, and if you didn't pass the exam, you just stayed in that same classroom? Well, we're looking to be graduated out of here. And we have a Father who's testing us daily, and we are now living in that test. And if we pass the test, we go up higher. If we don't pass the test, we don't go anywhere. So the word is the seed. Now you brethren here, I suppose, farm, and I put a seed in the ground, and the next morning you go out and dig it up and say, my corn ain't growing yet, put it back and cover it up. The next morning, see if it's growing again. It never will grow like that. No, every time you dig it up, you, what'd he say here? Delay it. Why is the second coming not taking place? You know, Joseph Branham put a quote on his website and said, you know, the reason is because the people aren't ready yet. And they got laughed to scorn by many churches I know of. And they said, well, whoever, you know, and he was quoting Brother Branham. But, you know, they just thought he was just putting down his words. The fact is that the only reason why we're not gone is we are not ready yet. The only reason why we're not ready yet is nothing that you do. It's something that you're doing. Quit doing. God is working in you to will and to do. As long as you have any input into it, you aren't going nowhere. You got to learn to die to yourself. Learn to die to who you are and just let Him live your life for you. Like he said, every time you dig it up, you delay it. You are guilty. You are delaying, okay? Isn't that right? What do? You know, the earth was made to grow the corn, that's right, or the seed. and you plant the seed, commit it to the earth, and forget about it. God does the rest of it. Well, that's the way you do with the word. See, I receive it. Now, I'm not going to do a thing about it. I'm going to let him do it. Then it's going to be done right. Okay? Don't dig it up. Just keep on believing it. Just keep on believing it. Commit it to God. So we're looking at each promise and having the patience to see it through to the manifestation of that promise. The promise is there. As he said, everything in us that will ever be in us when we are born again, but you have to have patience to see it through till it manifests itself in you. Otherwise, you can do a great damage to it. You know, people think that Brother Branham is just kind of Pentecostal, and God gave him a vision that he was going to shoot a bear, and you know what? He never saw the bear, he never shot the bear, and so they say, oh, I guess I missed the vision. I guess I just failed God. No, you didn't. It wasn't time. You know, Jesus, he caught fish after his resurrection, in his resurrected body, caught fish, served the fish and bread to the disciples in his resurrected condition. Now, if God wants that prophet to have that bear, he's going to get that bear in his resurrected condition. It wasn't time. And they say, oh, see, Brother Branham, well, then if he missed one vision, he must have missed another one. You don't remember how Brother Branham tried to rush it? The hat was supposed to be on the chair in the vision, and Brother Branham went and prayed, and nothing was happening. Then he realized, oh, I messed up. And he said, would you forgive me? And he waited and just waited, and he waited from 8 in the morning till 8 at night. He waited and waited, and finally, the hat was on the chair. The man was in the chair next to it. The old lady was in the chair next to it, and he got up, and he rushed into the room and said, thus saith the Lord, you know, you're healed. And you know what? God healed the child at that time. He didn't heal it the first time because Brother Branham didn't have patience to wait. You and I have got to learn to have patience to wait for the promise, and then the promise will manifest. Just keep believing it, keep repeating it, and it'll manifest, okay? But as long as you leave it alone and keep watering it, it'll grow. Don't worry about it. It's germinated seed. And every word of God is germinated seed himself. God is in his word, so it will grow. See, if God didn't promise it, then nothing's going to be there. But if God did promise, you better believe it, because it's going to happen. You know it will. There you are. We have to take his word, accept it, believe it, commit it, and it grows. That's right. Don't keep digging it up. Don't keep saying, well, Lord, did I miss it today? Well, Lord, did I miss that today? No, just keep repeating the promise to yourself. You'll ruin your crop every time that you dig it up. So just commit it to God and believe it. Now, the important thing is to claim it and then give it back to God for safekeeping. You know, he that's able to keep me from the, you know, from danger, well, give it to him. You know, we want to have a safe in the house so we can put our cash in whatever. Forget it. You know, we want to do things ourselves to keep things. I'm just keeping it. I'm just trusting him to keep it for me. You see? Now, from show us the Father, and he said, listen to me. I'm going to say something big. Every time that you look at your symptoms, you're delaying your healing. Every time you're looking for the second coming, you're delaying it. Enjoy the appearing. Enjoy the shout. Relish in it. It's wonderful. All right? Don't dig it up again. It's committed to him that promised to heal. Him that heals the rest of them. When you pass through the prayer line and hands is laid upon you, the Bible said the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. Don't say, well, let's see if I feel any better. Well, I got to tell this to myself. Quit taking your blood pressure every day. Forget it. You know, don't be looking at the symptoms. I feel good. I'm going to live good. forget all this other nonsense. I'm just going to live good, claim my healing. You know, I said to myself, I went from a walker to a cane with that Joan bought me that had four legs on it. I used it for 2 weeks. I'm sorry, but I used it for 2 weeks. So if you want it back, that's fine, but I don't think you want it back. And then I got a cane, you know, at Ollie's for $9.99, you know, a little cane with it. And I used it for 1 week, and I said, you know what? I got to start trusting God. Now, I might have days where I'm walking fine, and I have days where I'm walking like with a little gimp. I'm not supposed to look at the gimp. That's a test. That's a trial. I'm supposed to look at the fact that he said, you're healed. I've healed you. All right? So you're delaying the healing by checking your blood pressure every day. All right? Commit it unto God because it's a seed. What does a seed do? Look at a little apple tree out here. You people raise a lot of apples. Look at a little tree when it's no more than what we call in the East a spring. Okay? A little tree about like that. He's talking about an inch high. Did you know that every apple that ever will be in that tree, just think of an apple in the little tree, but it's in there. Just think about it. Every leaf it ever has, guess what? It's in there. It's in the DNA. Every blossom it'll ever have, it's already in there. You see the wings on a butterfly? It's already in the caterpillar. The four legs on the frog, well, when it's a tadpole, it doesn't have any legs. But guess what? They're in there. It's like they come out from the inside out, you know. Somehow God produces them the way it's supposed to be, okay? So he says, where did it come from? And that apple tree that's going to produce you hundreds of bushels of apples, where did they come from? When you set that little plant out there, about like that, just about an apple seed, and set it out there, and every apple that'll ever be in there, it's got to go in it, potentially every hundreds of bushels of apples that you collect of it, and it ain't a half an inch high, amen, there you are. Where does it come from? It's in the apple then. Wow. Paul said, if this body be dissolved, we have another one already waiting. You know, there's two of us, just like there's two of him, Father and Son. It's beautiful. There's two of us, okay? And it's the same life in all of us because of one body, or one spirit, you're all baptized into one body. So what he is saying here is he is telling you that the promise will come to pass, but the timing may be delayed due to our unbelief. Did you know that your fussing with others may be delaying the resurrection from coming forth? Did you know that? Then, if you know that, then just zip it. Don't fuss with anybody. All right? Did you know that Brother Brown said that God is waiting on us? That's right. The atmosphere has to be correct. Did you kids know that your disobedience may be delaying our getting out of here? Do you know that? You may be causing us, the rest of us, like Achan's wedge caused Israel to have problems, that your disobedience to your parents may be keeping us from the rapture. Do you know that? I may be dead and gone before you correct your behavior and start obeying your parents. So I want you to do it as quick as possible. For my sake, okay? You don't harvest your crops until they are fully mature. You don't harvest your corn the first time you see an ear of corn. You wait until all the ears begin to tassel. Then you check it for the water content, and if it isn't 85 or higher, you let it dry out until it is. Now, not when it is still green behind the ears, but when it is dried out and mature. So stop your fussing, turn your eyes upon Jesus, and look to the promises. I would say the activities of your daily activities, that 95% of them are not focused on going home. All right? It's what dress should I wear? What pants should I wear? Or maybe what pair of shoes should I buy? You're constantly calling the return of Christ to be put off because you're not ready. All right? I would say, like I said, the activities are, 99% of them are not focused on going home. You should be unpacking, not seeing what else you can get to fit in your closet. Brother Don laid in bed for 7 weeks and wanted to go home, but he was not ready. And I said to him, you want to lay here another 8 weeks? Keep it up. All right? He said, what do you mean? I said, God don't want you in that condition. He don't want to grow. The Bible, look, we sing this song. You know, there'll be no complainers there. All right? We sing this song. There'll be no grousing over there. Quit your grousing. Quit your complaining. All right? Just listen. You are not ready to go. I said, if you want to stay another 8 weeks, I said, God don't want you like that. He wants you sweet. And he said, okay. Then he said to me, will you pray for me? And so I prayed for him that he would get sweet. I didn't pray that God would take him out of here, that he would get sweet. Then I knew God would take him out of here. He'd be ready then, see? And so he was. And so God don't want you like that. He wants you sweet. And he said, okay, and then get sweet and God will take you, because that's all that there was over there. He wanted me to pray that God would take him, but I said, I will pray that you get sweet. Then God will take you. Brother Bram didn't see any grouchy people over there. He saw everyone was so sweet. Then you will go, and he accepted what I told him, quit his complaint, and God took him home. We're a living testimony, all, especially you family, are a living testimony of what happened, okay? Brother Bram said, we will be like those people beyond the curtain of time that were over there when we were ready to go ourselves. So just lay in the promise, but don't force the promise. In other words, the promise is you're getting your change. Don't force it. Don't force God's hand to try to take you. You go when you're sweet, and he'll take you home. All right? Now, Brother Bram said in his sermon, from Jesus Christ's name, I believe this Bible, this word right here, the Bible, is God in print form. Now just think about that, all right? And I believe that the Bible is a seed. These words are seeds. Jesus said, a sower went forth sowing seeds. This is it. The word of God is a seed. Jesus said it was. Then if it is God in print form, then you receive it into your heart, and then the Holy Spirit waters that seed and brings forth what it promised. Now, who's watering it? The Holy Spirit's watering. So who's going to bring it forth? God's going to bring it forth. You know, Paul said, I sow and other plants, one waters, but who gives the increase? God gives the increase. See, any kind of seed that you sow, it'll bring forth of that kind. Exactly right. We've sowed in this great revival going by a lot of intellectual seed. We've got an intellectual crop. That's right. If we would sow gospel seed, we'd have a gospel crop. And we need to get back to the principles and the Bible teachings, back to the Bible, back to the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God that makes the Word of God live. That's exactly what it is. So, we have been showing you the Word of God is a seed. But they can read the same word that you can read. But they read it wrong. It takes the Holy Spirit to make it live, to take it from the seed to a reality. And that is what we are now seeing. From Shows the Father, Brother Bram said, that's it, friends. God in his universe, he speaks out to his people. You believe that? Now we have to hurry. We can stay on that for hours. God is in his word. Do you believe it? Believe that? Every word of God is a seed. Jesus said so. The word is a seed, and what the seed is, it'll produce just exactly what the seed is. Now notice, Brother Branham said, the word is a seed, and he said it will produce just exactly what the seed is. Now that's Genesis 1:11. So keep that in your mind, for it will produce what it is predestinated to produce. So for making a way, he said, notice, Christ came, and he was a dying animal. For he was already in prefigure slain before the foundation of the world. You see it? God spoke it and said it would be so. So when God speaks, it's forever confirmed in heaven. And that's where you ought to have faith. If you believe this to be God's eternal, unchangeable word, then every precept that's been spoken in God's word is a seed. and everything that God has spoke of in the Word is already confirmed in glory, and it's been given to you to act upon. You don't be afraid to take any phase of God's eternal blessed Word and anchor it in your heart. Now, it has to be in the soil. Now, for instance, I took a grain of corn and put it in a blue pumice stone. And something like that, it perhaps would not grow because it's the wrong kind of soil. But if it goes into good, fertile, blacktop soil, I think he meant black topsoil, and that probably is a missed thing. It should be a space between the two. It should be topsoil. It'll grow as sure as it's placed in there. But if you put it in blacktop, I don't think it'll grow. But anyway, black topsoil will. Okay. And when the Word, here it is now, when the Word of God falls into the heart full of faith, it just has to grow. It's got to take a hold. Now, think about what he's saying here. Jesus was slain in the mind of God before the foundations of the earth. And in fact, at the same time, you were in the mind of God at the same time to be predestinated to the adoption of sons, positionally placed and ready for the redemption of your body. Now, that's what Paul said the adoption is all about. So we must ask ourselves why. Why at the same moment in prehistory, in the mind of God, did he predestinate Jesus, the eldest brother in a vast family of brothers, to die, and you, his other brothers, were predestinated to adoption of sons? Think about that just for a minute. Well, as it turns out, when the oldest son reaches full maturity, he receives 50% at the time of his adoption, and we know that God took him up on the mountain, and before witnesses of the Old Testament and the New Testament, he adopted his son. That is why he could say that God has placed all power into his hands. Then when his father dies, all other sons are to receive his share, which is the other 50%, which the father possessed. But there's a problem, because God would have to die first, but he can't die. He is the only immortal king and cannot die. So Jesus would have received 50%, and God would remain with the other 50% ownership. And then you're out. I'm sorry, but, you know, sorry, brothers. I'm just, you know, it's too bad. No, Jesus wasn't that way. So he worked out the solution. The firstborn son had to die, and that would free up his inheritance, and then God would raise him up, and we then would become joint heirs with Christ, being filled with the same Spirit. By one Spirit, we are all baptized in one body. And so that is why when he thought to predestinate you to the adoption of sons, he thought to slay his firstborn son to make everything work out. You see the love. You know, no greater love that a man has than lays down his life for his brothers. Why did he lay down his life? For redemption? No, we were in him. You really didn't need redemption. What you needed was his body redeemed. But you didn't need your soul redeemed. Your soul was from God. So, what did he die for? So you could have inheritance and become joint heirs when God raised him back up. You became joint heirs right then. Right, you realize you got the down payment when you receive the Holy Spirit. You got the will is read to you. It's right here. I've got it. Anybody want to see their name in there? Come up and we'll look at it. All right, it's in there. But you got to wait for it. You don't kill mom and dad first, you know. Like they do today. I mean, they have no patience, okay? From expectations. Now, we're going to speak a little tonight about to be expecting what you can expect to receive. And let's have our expectations high. And now for the next few moments, I want to speak on that. Now, the first thing you want to think of, friend, is always the Word of God. As I said last night, the Word of God is a seed, and that seed is planted in the right ground, will produce anything that the seed represents. Every seed after its kind, according to 1 Genesis 1:11. If there's a seed and it's wheat, if that wheat's germatized, and that right seed going into the right kind of ground will produce wheat. Corn will produce corn. Barley will produce barley. And every divine promise of God will produce just exactly what it promised to produce, if it's put in the right kind of a place. So notice now, he makes the promise so that we can expect to receive that promise. But people don't expect to receive what God has promised, which is actually, what are you doing? You're calling God a liar because you don't believe the promise he gave you. You see, if God told you he's going to do something, he's going to do something. All right? And that is what Peter actually told us would happen and would take place. In 2 Peter 3:3-4, knowing this verse, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. All right? Do we see them? Yes, we do. Walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his parousia? Now, they wouldn't be saying, where is the promise of his parousia if they didn't believe the parousia. See, so they understand the parousia. They got a doctrine called the parousia. They believe that he's here, but they don't know what he's doing. Well, then you don't really know if you believe or not. You see, he's still fictitious. He's still seed form. So where is the promise of his parousia? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, you know what? I happen to know of 82 things he's already done. And you know, World War I, World War II, you know, all these things that he talked about, Jesus talked about, Paul talked about, Peter talked about, James and John talked about, all of them. So he's given us a clue what he's doing. All right, so we should understand. So the promise is that there will be a parousia in the last days. But we are promised also there are to be scoffers who will actually say, where are those promises concerning this parousia? That's why they're leaving the message. They're not willing to wait. They're antsy. Now, what are these promises associated with this parousia? Well, in Matthew 24:3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy parousia and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, that word coming is parousia. And Jesus said and answered unto them, and then he told them 52 signs and events that he promised would take place. Then the apostle Paul gave us another 20 promises or signs and events and associated with Christ's parousia. And then Peter, James, and John promised us the other 14. So, now the fact that he told us made us the fact that he told what he told made us these promises is that Brother Branham said to give us expectations of what would take place at his parousia. You see, if I study out agronomy, and I know the plant not only has a seed in it, but it also has to wait till it dries, then I will perform tests on it to make sure, because I see the beans. You can all see the beans are there. But you have to wait for the invisible, which is the, you know, the content of water in the plant has to be less than 85%. So you see, the parousia gave us 86 things are going to take place. Well, when you can see 82 have taken place, then you know that 83 is going to take place, 84 is going to take place, 85 is going to take place. It's a matter of what? Time. That's why I'm preaching to you these messages today, is that we have to get to the place where we are content. We're in it. We're in the ark. You know what? I think the door is closed. I'm sure the door is closed. We're in the ark. Now we have to wait until the rain starts coming. Can you imagine the heart of Noah telling his family every single day, now just kids, just slow down. You're used to everything's got to be instantaneous, you know. Listen, we built this ark in 120 days. You think another week or so is going to make any difference to God? Remember, 1,000 years with God, or with man, is one day with God. So, you know, I tried to do the math, and I just couldn't. You know, I just confused myself every time I tried to do the math. But just think, 1,000 equals 100, or equals one day. So 24... So 24 then divided into that, you know. Anyway, we're looking at minutes. He's on his road. He's on his way. The shout's already come. He's already here. The voice is next, and we're waiting for it. Be looking for the signs. Be looking for what's to take place. Be looking for Abraham and Sarah. Be looking for Brother Branham. Be looking for Paul. Be looking for each of the saints from each of the ages on by. Because they're on the road. You see? So, you know, if a day with God is 20, you know, is one, I mean, if a day with God is only, is a 1,000-year demand, well, then what are just, I think I did the math one time and said, well, then, you know, he's quiet for a half hour. Well, that's 22 and a half years. So, you know, God in the seventh seal, you know, it's already been 22 hours. So where are we at? He's here. Just open our eyes, open your heart, look at what God is doing, and you can see he's doing it. Just sit back. You remember, you're just soil. You know, let that seed that's growing up inside of you, let it come forth unhindered by your own ambitions. Okay? We're going to speak a little tonight about be expecting, what you can expect to receive. And let's have our expectations high. So you don't know what to expect. You should because you've been made sure that you understand these promises of his provision. We're going down the people walker, and I passed 82 of these signs and events. And I know the next one's the resurrection. I know then after that is a change of body, or vice versa, change of body and then resurrection. And I know that, you know, we're going to be caught out of here. That's three events. And I can see them coming. I can't see them clearly yet because I'm not there, but I know they're coming. Now, am I going to get off the man walker, the people walker, because it's going too slow? Am I going to try to speed up and run on the people walker and trip over my face and have my head down below the side so I can't even look up and see them? Or am I just going to have patience and wait for them to be right there? That's what I'm talking about today. That's what I've been talking about this morning. Just, we're in his ark. We're in Christ. Love him. Love each other. And just be sweet like they were over there. And pretty soon, when the bride is all that way, she's going to be changed. God's going to just do it. We'll wake up like Sarah and Abraham, see that we're young again. And what a joy. What a joy to know that you're finally made. Justin, what a joy to see your kids the same age. You know? All right. And since God set a law in Genesis 1:11 that every seed will bring forth after its kind, then we are without excuse. Now, from one last quote here. Great warrior David, he said, you say, Brother Brown, can I accept Christ as my healer now? Certainly. Well, if I'm not well in 5 minutes, what about it? You're healed anyhow. If you believe it, you wouldn't ask me that question if you believed it. There's no question in your mind when you really believe it. You don't question it, you believe it. Other people might question it, but you don't question it. Now, let me tell you this. As long as it's in seed form, I can question it. When is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? But when I see the plant in front of me, I just have to say, oh, well, he's only this high. But you know what? He's going to stand this high when it's done. So I just have to sit back and watch the plant to grow. I have to sit back and watch Christ in me to grow into the image, all right, of the firstborn son. All right? You don't question it, you believe it. Other people might question it, but you don't question it. If you said to me, Brother Bram, give me an oak tree, you're from down in southern Indiana where they have the big white oak and so forth, give me an oak tree and I'll give you an acorn. Well, you got an oak tree potentially. In other words, it's in seed form, but it's the oak tree. You got it in an acorn. When we take God's word, we got it in a seed form. I remember planting those trees that are almost 70 feet tall, the pine trees in my front yard. I remember planting them when they were 5 feet tall. 5 feet tall, and I thought, wow, will I ever see them? Well, I'm seeing them right now. You see, it just took patience to wait for them to mature. All right? It's in seed form, but it's an oak tree, and you've got it in an acorn. When we take God's word, we got it in seed form. When we can accept divine healing by God's word, that settles it. Amen. It'll grow. Take the old acorn and bury it in the ground and stand off somewhere and watch her for a little while and see what takes place. Your oak tree comes right up on with it. Because the life is in the seed, and God's word is the seed, and it's alive. If you can just simply receive it, take it out of that Bible and said, it means me, amen, then you got something. That's right. All the demons couldn't stop you from it. No matter what anybody would say, you wouldn't believe it because you know where you're standing. In other words, I can look in this Bible, and there's over 800 divine promises to God for us. And I can say, that's for me, all 800. I'm not accepting 799. I'm accepting all 800. And I'm going to get all 800. You know, someone give you a check, and you say, well, you know, you owe me $100. Okay, here's a check, $99. Are you going to accept it? Well, he says, well, let's negotiate. No, there's no negotiation. You told me $100. And so you'll stand there till you get your $100. All right? So you see, what Brother Bram did, he saw himself, Malachi 4. He stepped into it. He became Malachi 4. And he saw Luke 17:30. He saw Revelation 10:7 and Amos 3:7. And he saw these scriptures manifesting in his own life. And he claimed these scriptures for him. And he manifested Malachi 4. He manifested Luke 17:30. He manifested Revelation 10:7 and Amos 3:7. And so the bride sees Ephesians 1:3-5. Adopted, we're predestinated to be adoption. We see Romans 8:14, 8:16, Romans 8:15, Romans 8:19, Romans 8:23, Romans 8:29 and 30. We recognize these are promises, are for us. John 14:12 is promises for us, and we receive them and look for them to materialize around us. Finally, from Show Us the Father, he said, why, if they hold their peace, the rocks will immediately cry out. God speaks out of his nature. You believe that? God is in his nature. Watch how everything takes place. Millions of things that we could speak about, if time would just permit, how God is in his nature. Now, do you believe God's in nature? In his universe. Now, God's in his word. God's promised to bless his word. He will watch over it, his word, to perform it and take care of it. You believe that? That the word of God, Jesus said, was a seed, and it's the seed of God. Every word is a seed. The sower went forth sowing seed. Jesus said, and the seed was the word of God. So brothers and sisters, we have all that we have need of is in us through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Just grow up into him in all things. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word. And we just ask you, Lord, that we would finish off the service with communion and just glory in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.